In this particular culture of monotheism, they had profoundly different answers to the perennial questions. And these answers provided for a completely different shaped culture. The questions asked were, how did we get here? And to monotheists, the answer was divine intervention. Perhaps you might recall the image of Michelangelo's picture of God and David on the Sistine Chapel, where God's finger is just about touching Adam, infusing Adam with the life of spirit and God. In regard to the second question, why are we here? The monotheists gave us a different story. They gave us a story that said we were here to live out plays of morality. Because what the monotheists did was accept Socrates' perspective that the spiritual realm was a perfect realm and that the physical realm was a corrupt realm. In monotheism, we amplified this difference. And consequently, monotheists said this, that the earthbound life is really not the life that we really want, because it's just a crude shadow of what is potentially possible. That what we really should be seeking is the life in the afterlife, in that other spiritual realm where everything is perfect and everything is beautiful. So consequently, we started to look at the material realm as something that was not up to snuff, that it was in fact to many damned, and that people's preoccupation with the material realm would keep them away from their opportunity of going to the spiritual realm. Following the loss of the spirit from the planet and de-emphasizing the material realm, we then must ask the question, now that we are here, how do we make the best of it? And for this, monotheists offer us the simple reality that says, follow the laws of the scriptures. So in monotheism, we lost spirit from the planet, and heaven was our destination, for life on this planet was really not worthy. And so all of a sudden, the philosophy of the culture was to focus on an afterlife and not focus on the current present life. So Socrates' philosophy in monotheism was not only retained, but it was updated. In the culture of monotheism and under the control and power of the church, the quest for human knowledge was stymied. And this was for a very particular reason, because the church claimed that its knowledge was infallible. And infallible knowledge actually means absolute knowledge. And what that ultimately represents is absolute power, for knowledge is power. And here was the problem. If the church was found to be wrong in any of its awareness, then its label of infallible knowledge would be broken. And therefore, the only way to retain infallible knowledge was to prevent other people from acquiring new knowledge that would challenge the church. So that any time people would come up with new ideas that would threaten the beliefs that the church offered, these people were subjected to the court of the Inquisition. And the significance of this was that if there was ever such a kangaroo court, it was the Inquisition court. No one could beat that, for the simple reason was this. If you were invited to such an Inquisition court and actually won, that would prove that the church was fallible, and that would bring the end of the church's power in monotheistic culture. So consequently, if you were invited to the Inquisition court, you already knew that it was all over for you. And yet, in this regard, what this pressure did was to keep people from venturing into the realms of new knowledge. In fact, even the church instituted sins for people investigating areas where they did not want them to have knowledge. So, for example, the nature of how the human body worked was put aside as a mystery of God. And consequently, Christians were not allowed to investigate the nature of the human body, which obviously prevented them becoming medical doctors. So in this particular time period, the only medical doctors were Muslims and Jews, because this was not in their philosophy, this restriction of studying the human body. So in the end, basically, new science was repressed under monotheism in an effort to allow the church to maintain its power over the paradigm. However, the church brought on its own downfall, because it asked a young astronomer, medical doctor, teacher, and priest by the name of Nicholas Copernicus to help them with a problem of setting the church calendar for religious events and holidays. The reason why the church had a problem with this is that the church claimed that the earth was the center of God's firmament, and that the sun, the stars, the planets, and everything else revolved around the earth. However, if this was true, then it was very difficult for the priest to set up a calendar where some of the holidays were based on a lunar cycle, which is a 28-day cycle, and some of the holidays were based on an annual or yearly cycle, which is a 365-day cycle. Since 28 days doesn't go evenly into 365 days, there were overlaps between the holidays, and it was very difficult to plan the schedule of holidays for the church. Consequently, Copernicus was asked to resolve the issue of the calendar problem. In his studies, Copernicus realized that he couldn't resolve the calendar question, leaving the Earth in the center of God's universe. However, he came up with the idea that perhaps the sun was the center of our universe and that the Earth and all the other planets were revolving around the sun. When he put this information into his equation, he was able to accurately predict the nature of the universe. So consequently, an excited Copernicus ran off to the church and said, "Yes, I've resolved your issues about the calendar. Here, look." And the church was very excited because, indeed, it was easy now to plot the holidays and festivals for the church. Then, of course, Copernicus had to admit the only way he could have done this is to remove the Earth from the center of the universe and put the sun in. Well, obviously, this was a very serious problem because the church's belief was based on Earth being in the center of God's firmament. So the church was in a quandary. They got the calendar they wanted, but not with the belief that they wanted to express. So there was a trade-off. And what happened was Copernicus's calendar was accepted for planning the church events, but his understanding of how he got that calendar was actually off limits, and no one was allowed to delve into the mystery of Copernicus. Well, Copernicus was a young man, and he also recognized that had he told the public about how he got his calendar, that he, of course, would then be invited to that Inquisition court. Knowing the outcome of that court in advance, it was a very smart move on his part that he did not tell anybody about how he derived the calendar. Throughout his life, Copernicus kept the secret of the fact that the sun was the center of the universe so he would not upset the church's absolute knowledge status. However, on his deathbed in 1543, Copernicus published his scientific results revealing that the sun was the center of the universe. What he was essentially saying was, well, listen, I'm dead, and what I'm leaving you is the science. And consequently, the church couldn't erase the science by persecuting Copernicus, and they actually had to deal with that science that was now exposed to the public. A consequence of Copernicus releasing this book is that the date of his death, 1543, is recognized as the date of the scientific revolution, the development of modern science. From that point, science was starting to ask questions that the church heretofore would not let them ask. One of the first and most important scientists to change the shape of the world was Isaac Newton. Because Isaac Newton, rather than focusing on the invisible spiritual realm as a source of life, decided to see if he could understand the nature of nature by just looking at the physical realm. So Isaac Newton created a mathematics called differential calculus, and then using this mathematics, he put in the data about the solar system, such as the planet's mass and its gravity, which was a factor of its mass, and other information such as the vector of its movement and its acceleration. And the significance of solving these equations for Newton is that he was able to accurately predict the movements of the universe. But there's a very profound significance for Newton in this regard, because what Newton did was only put the physical characters of the universe into his equation. He did not include God, spirit, or energy, or invisible forces in his equation. And since he was able to accurately predict the movement of the universe with this equation, it really said that you could understand the nature of the universe without invoking God and spirit. So consequently, now there was a complete separation between the mission of science and the mission of the monotheistic paradigm leader, the church. Then the difference is this. Science said, we'll leave the invisible forces and spirit to the church, and yet we'll focus on the material realm. Well, of course, science was making great strides and providing miracles to the people through the development of new technologies. However, science was not able to take over the basal paradigm for the church, because simply this. Science had yet to come up with an answer for the first question of how we got here.